You are tuned to CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg Radio, made possible by generous listener support.
Being commercial-free means that we have more time on air to bring you the music that you won't hear elsewhere and provide you the perspectives you won't get in the mainstream. As a commercial-free broadcaster, we don't adhere to algorithms that force us to be square pegs in a round world. At CKUW, we are proud to program outside of the mainstream norms and without commercial interruption. You make this possible. You can help us reach our goal by calling right now, 204-774-6877.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, have you ever wondered about the mighty eagle, the king of the skies? Eagles are known for their sharp eyesight, powerful wings, and majestic presence, but they're also important symbols in cultures around the world, including in Zuni Pueblo, where our kids' crew took a field trip to the Zuni Eagle Aviary. We also meet Dr. Brian Millsap from New Mexico State University, a research biologist who has spent his life dedicated to studying these incredible birds. Join us today as we learn all about eagles, coming up on the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is an independent production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
What bird needs to wear a wig?
I don't know. What?
A bald eagle.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
If I had the wings off an eagle, if I had the wings off an eagle, I would fly, fly away, fly away, and be at rest.
If I had the wings of an eagle, if I had the wings of an eagle, I would fly, fly away, fly away, and be at rest.
Oh, since I have no wings, since I have no wings, since I have no wings, I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. Since I have no wings, since I have no wings, since I have no wings, I'm gonna sing, 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 sing. If I had the wings of an eagle, if I had the wings of an eagle, whoa, I would fly, fly away, fly.
episode of the Children's Hour is dedicated to the memory of Dorothy Jensen Blanchard of Albuquerque, who passed away on June 20th, 2024, at the age of 101. Naval Chief Petty Officer Blanchard was one of the first women to serve in the military. She was also a devoted listener of the Children's Hour. Dorothy, may you have fair winds and following seas. This show is for you and all who were privileged to know you. That's Ziggy Marley from Family Time. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm here at the Outpost Performance Space and on Zoom with a whole lot of people. Hello, whole lot of people. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
And who do we have with us today?
Hi, it's Thorfinn.
Hi, it's Illuminata.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Asa.
Hi, it's Max.
Hi, it's Killian.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Thank you all so much for being here on the Children's Hour today in person and on the radio. We are going to learn about an animal that is actually our national bird. Anyone?
I think that's a bald eagle. Is that right?
It's a bald eagle. They're not really bald. Did you know? They're just feathery on top and they have white heads. But we're going to learn about bald eagles and all of the other species of eagles today. You all have obviously seen eagles in your life, right? In real life, has everyone seen an eagle?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
I think.
I tell you what, you maybe have seen them way up in the sky and didn't realize you were looking at eagles.
Yeah. I've seen a hawk, but I've never seen an eagle.
I've never seen a type of bird like those.
You don't think you've ever seen an eagle before?
No.
You sure?
Me either. We've gone to thousands of national wildlife and reserves.
Oh, yeah, I have seen an eagle.
Yeah, you have. Well, eagles are both common and uncommon. They live in many places around the globe, including where we are in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We have a few different kinds of eagles that live here. And today on the show, we're going to be hearing from some of the kids in our crew. Lucas D. and Kaibia went and visited an eagle sanctuary in Zuni, New Mexico. And that sanctuary is very special. And we're going to hear about that. We're going to be speaking with an eagle researcher and biologist from New Mexico State University. His name is Dr. Brian Millsap. And he's been studying eagles for his entire career. And I bet you have questions about eagles. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Stick with us. We're going to learn about eagles. This is Hap Palmer and Martha Cheney.
Born for a western sky, sweep in a circle. As he flies, he was free when they let him be. Brave and a hunter's son, the land was his till he met a gun. He was free when they let him be. In a land where the eagle used to fly in the wind, there on a mountain high, wounded eagle waits to die. He was free when they let him. Sky, sweep in a circle as he flies.
is free when they let him be. He was free when they let him be.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today we're learning about eagles. We're going to start in Zuni, New Mexico. Our kids' crew members, Lucas T. and Kaibia, visited an eagle sanctuary there.
My name is Nelson Luna. I am one of the first managers of the Zuni Eagle Aviary. We started in 1992 because of the primary issue that the tribe had of getting eagle feathers to fulfill our religious and cultural obligations. Eagles are protected under various laws, being the International Migratory Bird Treaty Act, the Bald and Gold Eagle Protection, and the Threatened Endangered Species Act. Because of those laws, we weren't able to possess these eagles. But Zuni has a long history, like other tribes, of traditional eagle husbandry, where we'd get live eagles and hold them and take care of them as long as they live, and they would provide the feather resources that we need to fulfill our cultural and religious obligations.
Eagle husbandry has been with the Zuni tradition for so long. I know down at the museum, at Oshawa Museum, Curtis has a couple of pictures of, long time ago, of an eagle just kept in a small cage and the caretaker standing right next to it. So it's been, as long as we can remember.
We developed a system to allow U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to issue us a permit to hold non-releasable eagles, which are these eagles that we have in our eagle aviary.
My name is Kaibia.
My name is Lucas D.
My name is Stafford Chamonix. Environmental technician with the Zuni Fish and Wildlife from Zuni Pueblo, New Mexico.
My name is Cody Laniati. I'm the lead environmental technician here with the Zuni Eagle Aviary. They're here for a reason. They're here because they got hurt in one way or another. When that happens, a rescuer or a rehabber will tend to them, and they will go there and they will get rehab. And if they're deemed non-releasable, then it goes to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It goes to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and then from there, the service contacts tribal aviaries to see if they're interested in taking a bird. Sue up there, Ivana's down there. This one's Morton. We sort of technique trying to figure out who's who. This bird has different personalities. Ivana, she's kind of feisty. So she, every time someone gets close to her, she tends to kind of get mad and irritated. But others, they get along really well with each other. But it's mainly during feeding time, I think, is when they kind of bully each other around and try to steal each other's food.
Once they're in captivity, they tend to be very aggressive and start attacking. Trying to handle a bird takes approximately about maybe 7-9 months to tame the birds.
Yeah.
Thank you, you're welcome.
Agasamet Isagarama si palmati Mowi Tawigas Pogahoyan ye jiadi Mon Agatlechka heathlin Pogalajan Abia yat. To pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you. And know that there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can know, except in moments steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound but other circles of motion. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing we are made of all this, and breathe, knowing we are truly blessed, because we were born and die soon within a true circle of motion.
listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based educational nonprofit that is supported by listeners just like you. You can learn how you can help make Kids Public Radio at childrenshour.org. The New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Celebrate diverse cultural communities of New Mexico at nmculture.org.
And I dream.
That's Valela from Unbearable Love. Over the break, you heard Mary Youngblood, and Joy Harjo gave us Eagle Song from her native Joy for Real. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're learning about eagles. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Millsap. He's with New Mexico State University. He's a research scientist and biologist. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you.
What differentiates eagles from other birds? In other words, what makes an eagle?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's not as straightforward an answer as you might think. Eagles are part of a group of birds known as raptors. Hawks and eagles, falcons, kites are all kind of grouped together. Eagles are kind of the largest of that group. Two eagles that we have here in North America commonly are the bald eagle and the golden eagle, and they're actually not even very closely related to each other. So it's really just they're the biggest of the hawks. That's kind of what constitutes an eagle. The word eagle is just really a descriptive word.
Really like size differences.
Size differences. You know, eagles are big. They're the biggest. You know, golden eagles are about 3 feet tall. They weigh 8 to 10 pounds. They have a wingspan of about 6 feet. So they're very, very large, large birds. Red-tailed hawks have a wingspan of about 3 feet, so about half the size of a golden eagle. But in some places, red-tailed hawks would be considered eagles. So it's really just a term that's used.
What is the difference between a bald eagle and a golden eagle?
So they're two totally different species, and they come from different lineages of birds. But if you were to look at a bald and golden eagle in the field, let's start with adults. Birds that are greater than 4 years old that have the adult plumage. Bald eagles have a bright white head, a bright white tail, and a big yellow beak and yellow feet. They're very, very distinctive birds. Golden eagles are all brown. They don't have the white head. They don't have the white tail. Their beak is dark in color. So golden eagles and bald eagles, when they're adults, look very different. The problem is young bald eagles look a lot like golden eagles. They're all brown. They have mottled white plumage, but they don't have a white head or a white tail until they're 4 years old. And so for 4 years, young bald eagles can be easily confused with golden eagles in the field.
Oh, interesting.
Why did they make eagles the national bird?
It almost wasn't the national bird. The national bird was almost the wild turkey. Mm. And Benjamin Franklin wanted the wild turkey. And he argued that the bald eagle wasn't an appropriate national symbol because they actually spend a lot of their time scavenging. They're not major predators and ferocious beasts that, you know, you think of them all the time. Sometimes they just scavenge on dead things. And so there was a debate about whether a scavenger was an appropriate national bird. But the bald eagle won out, and it is our national symbol.
You're saying that they mostly eat dead things? They're not like the kind of bird that hunts?
They do both. Bald eagles, in addition to scavenging, they also eat fish. They catch small mammals. They catch birds. They're ferocious predators. It's just that's not all that they do. They also will scavenge and feed on dead things if dead things are fresh and they come upon them. Golden eagles will do the same thing. So they're not opposed to eating freshly dead things that they didn't kill, but they also kill things and they're incredibly effective predators.
What is the ideal habitat for an eagle and how do they contribute to that area?
Golden eagles are what we call terrestrial. They live in grasslands and steppe and shrublands. The area around Albuquerque is really good habitat for golden eagles. Really, most of New Mexico is good habitat for golden eagles. And in that area, they're what we call an apex predator. They're at the top of the food pyramid. In addition to scavenging, which we've already talked about, they feed on jackrabbits. They feed on prairie dogs. They feed on waterfowl along the Rio Grande if they can find places to catch them. Bald eagles, they're more what's called a sea eagle. They live near water. They live near the coast, and they're mostly feeding on fish and feeding on water birds like ducks and geese that they find along the rivers. One of the big contributions that bald eagles make is that they feed a lot on crippled and injured waterfowl, and so they kind of remove sick and injured animals from the environment.
How strong are eagles? Because I've heard tell, and I'm not sure if this is true, that eagles will sometimes briefly carry goats off of things like cliffs to then eat them. Are they actually that strong to where they can lift up animals as big as that?
There certainly are cases where they've done that. I mean, I've found deer fawns, pronghorn antelope fawns, coyotes in eagle nests. I've seen videos of eagles from Europe bringing small antelope into nest sites and carrying them. Golden eagles are easily able to carry jackrabbits into the nest. But oftentimes they're using lift. They're either using wind or using thermals to get off the ground and then using that lift to help them carry it. So it's not all the powered flight of the eagle. It's also taking advantage of, you know, rising air currents and wind helping them.
What part of an eagle's body is considered its most powerful weapon?
The feet.
The feet?
The feet.
Not that big, scary.
Bald eagles will bite. Golden eagles don't bite at all or very rarely bite, but they both use their feet. If you find an eagle injured down on the ground, it's going to roll over on its back and put its feet up. Don't get grabbed by an eagle.
Yeah, I bet, because they probably can shred things with those
feet.
Well,
they grab and they hold really hard, and those talons are long and they're sharp. So that's something to avoid for sure. People worry about the beak. I worry about the feet.
Don't get grabbed by an eagle.
Don't get grabbed by an eagle.
Message of the day. This is the Miraculous Love Kids right here on the Children's Hour.
Slipping into the future.
was The Miraculous Love Kids with Sammy Hagar, Chad Kroger, and Rami Jeffy. And you are listening to The Children's Hour. Today on the show, we are learning about eagles. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Millsap from New Mexico State University, and he has researched and studied eagles for his entire career. Let's go over to Amadeus.
As far as birds go, how smart are eagles?
Well, I guess the question is, define smart. They have an incredible ability to home back to a location. One of the things we found in tagging these birds with satellite transmitters is they spend the winter in the exact same place to the square mile that they were the year before. And then they'll fly, you know, 300, 400, sometimes over 1,000 miles back to a nesting territory and occupy the very same spot. So they have an incredible ability to orient, you know, spatially in terms of geographically where they are. Their heads are basically a roadmap. When you consider, you know, when you're in a dive and you're having to do all the calculus to figure out how do I get to that rabbit before it gets to that cover without hitting that fence, those are all things that they're processing in their brain simultaneously. And my guess is if it were us doing that, we'd slam into the fence or slam into the ground and we'd never get the rabbit. So I give them credit for that.
How far and how long do eagles migrate?
Depends on how far they're going. Eagles here in New Mexico and in the lower 48 states, golden eagles typically don't migrate at all. They stay generally in the same area. The exception is birds from the south migrate north in the summer. When you think of migration, you think about birds up north coming south for the winter. Well, here what we have are eagles that go north in the summer. And so a lot of golden eagles from New Mexico go up to Wyoming and Montana in the summer. So, you know, 800 to 1,000 miles, basically. But the really long distance champs are golden eagles that nest in northern Alaska and northern Canada. And those birds will migrate all the way down from the north slope of Alaska to northern Mexico, southern New Mexico for the winter. And so that's 2,500 miles or so, at least, on those migrations.
How long does that take?
In the tracking data, 10 days to 2 weeks is some of the tracks of those migrants when they're really moving. But oftentimes, they'll stop along the way and spend a few days in a particular location and then move on. So they aren't necessarily just moving as fast as they can. They're moving to a source and then feeding up on food for a few days and then moving again. But the migration tracks that they take can be pretty long, especially for those northern golden eagles.
To our Alaska listeners, we've got your birds.
Yep, your birds are here in New Mexico now.
They're fine. They're doing great. We're taking good care of them.
What we do know is that golden eagles, they tend to follow the exact same trajectory. They have stopover areas that they'll stop at as they're migrating, and they tend to reuse the same stopover areas from year to year. So they're able to navigate to those places, whether they're visually cueing in on mountain ranges and waterways and highways, or whether they have, there's some research that suggests that they're getting cues from things that we can't even see or feel or hear, but are out there.
Like the North Pole, like the magnets
pole, exactly.
of the Earth?
The magnets of the Earth,
That's
the magnetic
so crazy.
Poles of the Earth may be helping them as well. But one thing's for sure is that they're very good at navigating from place to place. And if you look at the routes that eagles will take from 1 year to the next, the stopover places are almost always identical. They're staying in the same places for a few days and then moving on. And then the places where they end up are almost always the same place that they were the year before and the year before that.
Like enough that they reuse their old nest?
They reuse their old nest. They reuse the same roost sites at night, both on the breeding grounds and on the wintering grounds.
That's Dr. Brian Millsap. He is a biologist at the New Mexico State University. He's with us at the Outpost Performance Space, where we're learning about eagles. Stick with us. There's a lot more to come. But first, this is Paul Vincent Nunez, right here on the Children's Hour.
Up in the open sky, an eagle is flying high. White as the winter snow are the clouds below. He sees the land and sea as he flies over me. I wish I had eagle wings, and together we would sing. Blue is the ocean, and every lake and stream
Soaring through the sky, there's a mighty bird who loves to fly so high, with feathers tipped in white and eyes that see afar. The bald eagle glides beneath the shining star. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle, spread your wings and touch the sky. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle, let's soar together, you and I. Perched atop the tall trees, nest among the clouds. Home is where the heart is, where the eagle sounds. With a call so bold and a spirit free, the bald eagle lives in you and me. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle, spread your wings and touch the sky. Fly, fly, fly like a bald eagle, let's soar together, you and I. Flap your arms and feel the breeze. Imagine all the worlds you'll see. Close your...
And you are tuned into CKUW 95.9 FM. We are doing our Fun Drive campaign. On now till the 21st of February, your chance to give your donations to the station supporting this great independent grassroots media organization here in Winnipeg. We do Fun Drive every year to raise about a quarter of our budget. The reason why we get it from listener donations is that it allows us to be independent. If you notice, there's not a lot of or any real commercials in that sense that you would normally hear. That listener donation also gives us the ability to be have that interaction with you, the listener, and have that community. We are a listener-driven radio station, and we mean that very seriously. We want to have that support and also have that feedback from the listening audience about what you want to hear and things that you enjoy here on the station. For instance, Monday to Friday, 9 to 10 a.m., you will hear Democracy Now!, award-winning international news broadcast that really gives you the straight goods in a lot of ways, the straight reporting. And unfortunately, that, a lot of cases, is in short supply sometimes. And the reason why we air it 5 days a week, we're, I believe, the first station in Canada to do so, was actually from a listener suggestion. And there's lots of different shows and things we've done on the station that came from listener suggestions. So when you donate to the station, it's not just a monetary thing. There's also a relationship there. There's a partnership and a community that we're building every year doing Fund Drive and year-round when we're broadcasting. But this is the time of year when we want listeners, and we need listeners, want and need listeners to phone in with a pledge. 204-774-6877 to pledge now and all through the 21st of February to give your donations to CKW 95.9 FM. You can also go to fundrive.ckw.ca to make a pledge online. With your pledge of $35, you will get a friend's card that gives you discounts all around town, various shops, record stores, restaurants, some new stuff on the friends card this year. You can go and make a pledge, though, to find out more. 204-774-6877 or go to fundrive.ckw.ca to make a pledge online. Thank you for tuning in to CKUW, and talk to you all in a moment. Here's more of the Children's Hour.
You know, the male more or less holds the territory. He kind of controls the space, and the female comes in and lives with the male within that area. If they're successful, if the pair works, if things work out and they are able to produce young successfully, generally they'll stay together for as long as they're both alive. If one dies and it's replaced by a new bird, oftentimes the other bird will stay there and pair with the new incoming male or female. But as long as that male and female are alive, and as long as they're successfully raising young, they tend to stay together for their life.
Are female eagles generally larger than males? And if so, why?
Females are larger than males, and that's true in almost all of the predatory birds, whether it's an owl or whether it's a falcon or whether it's an eagle. Those are very different lineages of birds, and so there's something about being an apex predator that leads to larger size in females being advantageous and smaller size in males being advantageous. The theory that's gotten the most credibility, and the one that I have a lot of belief in, is that it has to do with the division of labor that the males and females go through during the year, particularly when they're breeding. When they're nesting, females, they lay the eggs, obviously. They do almost all of the incubation of the eggs. They brood the young, they feed the young, and the male does most of the hunting. And so in general, it's thought that smaller size in males is advantageous as a hunter because smaller size means that they're more agile, they're quicker, they're faster, and there are more smaller prey than large prey. You know, I think that larger females are better able to incubate larger broods of large eggs. And if you look at egg size, larger eggs have a higher probability of producing fledging a young bird successfully. And so larger females are able to cover and protect a larger clutch of large eggs. And I think that has a lot to do with it. There's also thoughts that, you know, when the male comes in with food, if he doesn't want to give it up, a larger female's, you know, intimidating and she can take it from him. But you don't see that happen very often. They're very good in their parental roles. And so smaller males are better hunters. Larger females are better at brooding and caring for the young at the nest.
How large can an eagle's nest get?
I've been in a lot of eagle nests, and they can be huge. There was a nest in Ohio at one point, a bald eagle nest, that was enormous. I don't remember how big it was, but it blew down in a storm, and it was many, many tons in weight, all the sticks that had accumulated over time. But the whole process of working on a nest is part of the courtship ritual for eagles. In the spring, they're beginning to pair up and the male and female are working together, adding material to the nest and building on it. Each year is a part of the annual courtship cycle. And so you can imagine if those nests are over 100 years old, in some cases, probably many, many, many hundreds of years old, they can grow pretty large with all the sticks and debris that eagles bring in to decorate those nest sites with. So I don't have an exact answer, but I can tell you I've stood up an eagle nest in the tops of trees. I mean, they're big enough where I can lay across and practically barely span the top of the whole nest.
You can literally stand on their nest without crashing through it?
You can stand on the nest. I mean, don't do that.
Wow.
But they're large enough that you can easily do that in some cases.
Wow.
How do eagles communicate with each other?
Well, they do have a lot of vocalizations. They chitter and they chatter and they talk. But a lot of the communication is done through flight, through courtship flights. They'll get up really high and dive down and do these big loops and then come back up and dive down and come back up like this. Both advertising that this is my territory, and they're also advertising if there's a male looking for a female, you know, that there's a breeding opportunity here. And so flight style and those flights are part of the communication. With the eyesight that they have, the best way for an eagle to communicate is to get way up in the air and start doing a flight style that's communicating something.
One thing about eagle vocalizations is that often that sound you hear, you know, that supposedly is an eagle and they show
up. It's not an eagle.
You know.
That's a red-tailed hawk.
Right. It's not an eagle.
Yeah. Eagle vocalizations aren't very melodic. Both bald and golden eagles have an aggressive call that they make. If an intruder is at the nest, if I'm climbing up to a nest to tag the kids, the adults will fly overhead making a loud chittering, kind of a cacking call. When they're together at the nest and they're working on the nest, they'll chitter back and forth. It's sort of a chittering or a cheeping. It's nothing you would think would come from an eagle. That call that you hear on TV, the meow, that's a red-tailed hawk. They have the eagle voice.
We're hearing what an eagle actually sounds like from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. You're listening to the Children's Hour. That's our guest, Dr. Brian Millsap, and we have a little bit more time with him here at Outpost Performance Space. And up next, we've got ABBA.
Come on.
listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. That was ABBA from their Essentials release. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Millsap. We just have a few more minutes with him. We're learning about eagles.
What's the lifespan of an eagle?
An old eagle is 30 to 40 years old. They can live a long, long time. They have a long, long life. But they have to survive that first year in order to get experience, in order to live that long. And a lot of eagles die in their first year learning how to fly, learning how to catch food, learning how to live the life of an eagle. It's a tough world out there. And so about 40% of the young eagles, if there were 100 eagles born today, about 40 of those wouldn't live past their first year. They would die either by starving to death, getting electrocuted on a power line, colliding with something. So they're, that first year is a really hard year for eagles. But if they make it through that first year and they gain some experience, they have a good chance of living 30 to 40 years. As large as they are, there aren't many predators of eagles. And so that's not a primary way that they die. But there are lots of other things that eagles succumb to. In our study, what we found was that the leading causes of death for golden eagles were things that were related to human changes to the environment. Electrocution on power poles is a large cause of death. We estimate in the western United States, about 500 golden eagles are electrocuted each year on power poles. They're still shot illegally by people. We estimate that about 700 a year are still shot in the western United States, even though that's illegal and has been for a long time.
That's so sad.
It is sad. It is sad. It's hard to imagine anyone shooting an eagle, but it happens. And then collisions. Golden eagles, you can imagine a bird flying, one of the biggest risks that it faces is colliding with something. And we're pretty good about putting things up there that are hard to see. You know, power lines, wind turbines are another feature that we're putting out there to generate energy for us, but eagles occasionally collide with those wind turbine blades.
Mm.
And so that's a mortality factor as well.
And cars, too.
Cars as well. Remember, I said they scavenge. Well, one of the places that you find food to scavenge on is on the highway. Pronghorn, antelope, mule deer that's hit by a car. An eagle will come down on the highway to feed on those. And if they're not quick about getting up off the highway, if there's a truck or a car coming, they can be hit. And that's another cause of mortality.
How are the populations of eagles doing? Are any of them endangered?
Well, that's another great question. Bald eagles used to be endangered. They were for several decades. And the reason for that was we had a pesticide that we used beginning back in the 1940s to control insects called DDT. That was a phenomenally effective pesticide. But we slowly began to realize that that pesticide was not breaking down in the environment, and it was accumulating through food chains. And in birds of prey, it caused them to be unable to make an eggshell. And so bald eagles were laying eggs that were so thin-shelled that they couldn't stand being incubated, and they didn't hatch. And so bald eagles became endangered. At one point, there were only about 400 known nest sites in the United States. DDT was banned in 1972 in the United States. And slowly but surely, bald eagles began to recover after that. We estimate that there are over 300,000 bald eagles now in the United States. So they've made a tremendous comeback. And in fact, they're actually doing probably better now than they were historically because they've adapted to living and nesting in urban areas. Golden eagles are the exact opposite story. You know, they've been consistently probably at about the same population size for decades. Our data suggests that since the 1960s, their numbers really haven't changed at all. In the western United States, we estimate that there are about 32,000 golden eagles, so quite many fewer than bald eagles. When we look at survival rates of golden eagles and how many young they produce, we've been predicting that those populations will probably begin to decline, and we're starting to see those declines now. And so neither bald nor golden eagles are currently listed as endangered, but we're concerned about the population trajectory, you know, the direction that golden eagle populations are going. They seem to be declining.
Dr. Brian Millsap is a research biologist who specializes in eagles. He is with New Mexico State University. Dr. Millsap, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's
Thank you
Hour.
For having me.
We learned a lot.
Old bald eagles sail around, daylight is gone. Old bald eagles sail around, daylight is gone. Backwards and forwards across the floor, daylight is gone. Backwards and forwards across the floor, daylight is gone. You swing here and I swing there, daylight is gone. You swing here and I swing there, daylight is gone. You go ride the old gray mare, I'll go ride the roan. You get there before I do, leave my girl alone. Sail around, Maggie, sail around, daylight is gone. Sail around, Maggie, sail around, daylight is gone. Big fine house in Baltimore, 16 stories high. Pretty little girl lives up there, hope she'll never die. Old bald eagle, sail around, daylight is gone. Old bald eagle, sail around, daylight is gone.
The Old Bald Eagle song is Gene Ritchie. It's super old. It's from a collection of old Appalachian songs. You're listening to the Children's Hour. We've been learning about eagles. In the background, you are hearing Autumn's Child with Wings of an Eagle. You can learn a lot more by going to childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Eagles. I'm Katie Stone. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with lots of production help from Gus Tafoya, Sarah Gabrielli, and Daniel Lentz, along with the sub-essays from Zuni Pueblo, and many thanks to our guest, Dr. Brian Millsap, and the folks at Zuni Eagle Aviary.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
CKW's annual fundraising celebration, Fund Drive, is on air now. This is our once-a-year effort to raise money for operations and improvements at the station. Go to fundrive.ckw.ca to pledge online or call 204-774-6877 between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. to make a pledge. As a thank